Welcome to Quirittles. This week, responding to vague feedback, chapter 2, how to be more collaborative, part 1. The questions this cast answers are, what do I do if I'm told to be more collaborative? What do I say if I'm told to be more collaborative? And what is collaborative anyway?
Folks, one of the ways you can learn how to have a more effective relationship with your boss is learn what your boss does and how he or she does it. And the way you would do that is come to our Effective Manager Conference. If you're a Career Tools listener, then that means you're paying attention to your organization more broadly than just your role. If you're a manager, then obviously you need to come to our Effective Manager Conference to learn the Manager Tools Trinity, one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. It will make you much smarter in interpreting what your boss wants. And sometimes bosses are vague and they don't intend to be. And it'll teach you how to ask for clarification. So come to the EMC. It's all on our website. Easy to do. See you there.
Andrew, there's been a couple of these that we've done already. We've done chapter 1 of responding to vague feedback. But the reason we're doing them is because not everybody is a manager tools manager. And manager tools managers understand that feedback has to be behavioral and specific. And you have to be able to understand and define it as if you could see it so that the person who's getting the feedback knows exactly what they did well and what they did poorly. But that's not the way that every manager works. And often they give you vague feedback like, be more collaborative, or you're not collaborative enough. And, you know, you'll get that feedback and then you'll think, I don't know what that means. What am I doing that's not collaborative? I thought I was a nice person working with other people. So in these casts, we're trying to help you understand what someone might mean by collaborative and some of the actions that you can take in order to be more collaborative.
Yeah, I tell people in sessions all the time, the worst thing that you can do as a manager is put people in a situation where leaving the conversation, they don't know what to do.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
And so that's the goal. But you're right. Not all managers are manager tools managers. So we're going to tell you how to respond in this type of situation. Our outline for today is, what did you do to prompt this? Stop negative behaviors and replace negative behaviors. That's it. Three parts.
Sounds so easy, doesn't it?
Sounds so easy.
Yeah. So the first question is, what did you do to prompt this? And as in the first chapter of this series, we're going to assume that you did something to prompt this feedback. It might be something that you would call collaborative or not collaborative. It may be something that you would call something else, but we're going to assume that there was a cause for this effect. You don't have to agree with it, but your manager did not just wake up this morning and go, I'm going to give you feedback about being collaborative.
Something
happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And collaborative is not a behavior, right? We know that. We've talked about what behaviors are and what behaviors aren't. But there are component behaviors that would at least commonly be accepted as being or not being collaborative, right? We want to divide those into three groups. Okay. Anything that causes a barrier to communication. Communication is the glue that holds organizations together. Anything that prevents work from moving, right? Work moving within the organization. Or anything that makes work more difficult for those around you. So those are the three buckets we're gonna think about when we think about behaviors as being collaborative or not.
And we're going to talk about those in detail in a little while. But just be careful. It is so easy to justify these behaviors. Of course you were scathing about the idea. It was stupid. And that's nothing to do with collaboration and everything to do with keeping the project on track, not going off after stupid ideas.
That's what you'll tell yourself.
Exactly. And it may be true, but you don't need to say that out loud in front of everybody. It may be true that your spreadsheet is the best way to track issues, but if only you can see it or only you are using it and the rest of the team are using something else, that's why you're being told you're not collaborative.
Yeah, it's important here to remember we judge ourselves by our intent, by our motivation, right? But we judge others by their behavior. So other people looking at your behavior they're the ones drawing the conclusion that you don't want to or won't work with them. It doesn't matter if it's true in terms of, you know, from your perspective or not. What matters is that someone else, someone important to you, because you're working with them, they're a stakeholder, drew that conclusion.
So if you immediately know what someone is talking about, then apologize. And that does not mean defending yourself. Apologizing and defending are not the same thing.
So, this is a good point. Yeah.
Not, I'm sorry I seemed stuck on my idea this morning. I just couldn't understand what Steve was talking about. That's defending. But you're right. I got stuck on my idea and I didn't work hard enough to understand where Steve was coming from. I will apologize to him personally. I'm sorry that I made the meeting more difficult for you than it needed to be. And I'll be on the lookout to curb that behavior if I find myself doing it again.
Yeah. Of course, if you know what you did that prompted the comment about your lack of collaboration, apologizing is easy. I mean, at least it's easy enough, you know, once
at least you know what you're apologizing for.
You know what you're apologizing for, right? The hard part is really about changing your behavior and being consistent going forward. We're going to address that shortly. But what if you don't know what it was? You don't know what was the impetus for this. Here's some more specific examples in each of those three categories that we talked about, which might help you establish what the problem is.
So category one is causes a barrier to communication. And the most obvious example of this is not communicating at all. So anytime you know something that someone needs or would like to know or would find it helpful to know, and you don't tell them that thing, you're not being collaborative. And we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt, because I would like the benefit of the doubt to be applied to me, and assume that you don't withhold information intentionally. But like most of us, you worry about sending too much email or too many instant messages, or it just doesn't occur to you that someone else would need to know this random piece of information.
Yeah.
And we know that communication is an issue in companies, because there has never, as I've often said, ever been an employee survey where people said, I get too much communication. Everybody always wants more. And that is enough to tell us that we should communicate even when we think we're doing it too much. Even when you think you've sent the information already, send it again. Or even when you think no one needs to know what I know, or everybody already knows what I know, send it anyway.
Mm-hmm. I tell people in sessions all the time, there's only three options when it comes to communicating. Not enough, the perfect amount, and too much. If you aim for, I mean, obviously, don't under-communicate, don't not communicate. But even if you're aiming for perfect, what's perfect to me and what's perfect to you and what's perfect to Wendy and what's perfect to Steve is all going to be different. The only way to be effective is to over-communicate. So the worst case of not communicating is when you don't tell your boss something that she finds out later and thinks that you should have told her. You might disagree with that, but remember, if you're being told that you're uncommunicative or not collaborative, your standard and your boss's standards are clearly different. Otherwise, you would have been communicating. So why is not communicating with your boss worse than not communicating with your peers? It's because your boss is that person that arranges those payments that you get weekly, biweekly, or monthly, that controls your addiction to food, clothing, and shelter. It's important to level set and be at the same on the same page with your boss in terms of communication.
And if you ever have a moment where your boss says, I can't believe you didn't tell me that, or why didn't you tell me that, or I can't believe, why would you think it was okay not to have told me that? All things.
Why am I finding out about this now?
Yes.
Why did I find out about this from her? Why did I find out about this from them?
It's like you and I have been in the same situation. Just take a note of those things. It's better if your boss doesn't have to say that 50 times to you.
Yes.
Ask me how I know. but there are things that just don't occur to you, that you just don't think are important to you. I've noticed this when I'm traveling with somebody else. I like to be at the gate before anything else is happening, and I like to be in the seat where I am. And then I don't move because I know I'm in the right place and everything will happen around me. And other people are like, we'll just go to the gate when they start announcing our name Like, how do you do that? But it's right. It's just a different level of comfort with time and place and situation. And that happens all the time at work as well. So if there's something that your boss keeps remarking on that you don't think is important, it's a hint. Stop mm-hmm. making it important, whether you agree or not.
Right. Absolutely. And sometimes you are communicating, but not well, right? Mm-hmm. You are communicating, but in terms of quality, there's a gap there, right? And it could purely be just the medium that you're using. You're not using maybe the same channel as other people in the organization, or the medium that you're using is slower than what's required for the information or the situation. For example, if everyone on your team communicates on Slack and you're not on Slack, or you choose to use email, or you choose to take longer than other people take to respond, that's a barrier to communication. And the only way to stop that is get on Slack. This is not a promo for Slack, but use whatever the channel or the medium is that your team uses.
And you might hate it, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You can carry on hating it, but you still have to use it, because you have to be able to speak the language that the people around you are speaking. And it's no use speaking French if everybody else around you is speaking English.
Yeah.
If your written messages are regularly misunderstood, then we recommend you go up the value chain of communication. So the next up from written communications via email or instant message or text, I guess, is a telephone call. And better than that is video. And best of all is face-to-face. So if you go up the chain, if you move from written communication to verbal communication, a two-way exchange that's at the same time, it usually helps with comprehension. So if you're struggling to communicate, you know, sometimes you start an email chain about something innocuous and you think it's really obvious, and it's clear from the response you get that the person who you emailed doesn't have a clue what you're talking about. The answer is not to email them again, because that's kind of like being in France and just saying the same English words louder and more slowly. Mm. It doesn't help the translation.
Yeah, if they don't speak French, that's it.
So instead of sending another email, just call the person or talk to them on a video chat or whatever you have that's up the value chain, so that you can have communication that has more nuance, and you can find out, like, wait a minute, maybe they didn't know the thing that happened yesterday. And if you didn't know the thing that happened yesterday, none of what I just said will make sense. And then you can solve that problem really easily instead of butting heads over email.
Yeah. And I'm going to point to, hopefully, Wendy, you don't mind this, but this is something you do really well. You'll send an email, and sometimes it's a high D email, it's quick, it's to the point. And sometimes I'll have a question or somebody else has a question. And I love that sometimes I don't check my email, you know, every minute of every day. And so when I check it again at lunchtime or whatever, I'll see two emails from you. One was the first email. And then I'll see, hey, someone actually had a question. I didn't explain this very well, but this is actually because somebody had reached out to you and said, hey, I didn't understand that or whatever. And so now there's clarification, you know, and I just think that that's just showcasing the importance of getting it right, making sure that the message that's conveyed, it leaves the right impression. I just think that's super, super important. And so there are times where you want to use other mechanisms or other mediums of communication, but you also want to close loops. And I think that's a good example of that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
There's gotta be some things I do well. Correcting my mistakes, I do that well. Excellent. So one more example here is not being available for meetings or calls. And we respect that you need time for deep work on your calendar. But if preserving that time on your calendar means you don't have time or don't have a reasonable amount of time at reasonable points of the day to meet, then you are optimizing your productivity and not that of the whole team. So Edward Deming, who was a management researcher in the 60s, I want to say, he was part of the whole Toyota managing by numbers kind of wave of management thought. He said, optimizing the results for one process is not the same as operating that process in the way that leads to the most benefit for the overall system. You have to think about that. If you optimize your processes, that is not the same as optimizing the whole team or making the whole team productive. So sometimes you have to sacrifice something on your calendar, some way that you prefer to work, some time that you prefer to work for the good of the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Folks, another way to get to the bottom of vague communications is to take our empty disc instrument and learn about your natural tendencies and learn how to work more effectively with other people. One of the problems sometimes is what we think of as vague, someone else thinks is crystal clear, and it's because they communicate differently than us. And our guidance is about helping you listen and helping you change how you communicate with them so you'll have a better, richer relationship. Bosses, peers, directs, doesn't matter. Works for everybody.
So the next category that we're going to talk through is things that prevent work moving. So in a factory, we can see work moving. I mean, it's readily apparent, right? Imagine a factory, you know, making something simple, like a plastic plate with a pattern printed on it. At the loading dock, plastic pellets are dropped off. They're taken in the right quantity to a station where the plastic can be heated so that it becomes moldable, and the plastic goes through the molding machine, right? And out the other side on a conveyor belt, there's warm plastic plates coming out.
It's like magic.
It's pretty cool, right? And they process through the factory, going, you know, to the printer for pattern, you know, maybe throughout the stages they're passing humans, or maybe at the end they're passing humans for quality control. They go through the shrink wrap machine and finally into boxes for shipping out. Simple. We can see it, right?
Yeah, it's a physical thing.
Yeah, it's visual, right? Work moves in a knowledge work environment too. At the most simplest level, you get your assignments, right? You hand them to someone else. It's that simple, right? In fact, there is the equivalent of the loading dock with both inputs and outputs, even in a company that doesn't have physical goods. In the same way that the product progresses through the factory, work progresses through your company. The printer in the factory relies on the molding machine to send its plates to print onto. And in the same way, people in your organization rely on you doing your part. Anytime that you're not doing your part or you get in someone else's way, you're stopping work from moving. You're becoming the bottleneck, right? To use some terminology from another great book, The Goal.
Which is also about sub-optimizing
different
parts as well. Yeah, right. In a knowledge work organization, perhaps the loading dock is the contract. You know, you've just contracted with a customer to deliver some piece of software, and then the contract goes to someone who breaks down. What does that mean in terms of the software we need to develop? And then somebody else, it goes to somebody else who looks at those breakdowns and says, okay, we need a server and we need some Java people in. I'm just going to make this stuff up. Until it gets to you and it's, you know, one, I've forgotten what they're called. One story. They come, there's points in Agile. You break it down until there's points anyway, but I can't think of what the right thing is. But, you know, it might get to you as just, you know, one tiny little piece, but it's flowed to you. And then your piece goes on to be put together with other pieces and through quality control. And eventually that software goes to the customer. So there is definitely a flow of work through an organization. And so what we can do to stop it, one common way that we end up being the barrier is that we finish our task and we don't tell anyone it's done.
Yeah, but Wendy, wait, what if you update the tracking sheet or the project plan, right? That's enough, right?
Yeah. So I imagine that every team is like ours and their project plan, like ours, has 500 or 600 lines on it. And, you know, as good as systems are about telling us, hey, this person updated their thing and it's now on your plate, none of us are good at going and finding that work in a reasonable time. And sometimes we forget to look. Sometimes we forget to update it properly. Sometimes the system works, doesn't work, and doesn't send the message. It's not enough just to be updating the project plan, especially when you know that people are waiting on your work. if you update the project plan and the guy next to you in the next cubicle is the guy who does the next piece of work, and he's just sitting there like, I've got nothing to do. Nobody's passed me a plate today. I'm just sitting here. He's not checking the project plan every half an hour to see if you've finished your task.
Yeah.
And so if you don't tell him, he's going to sit there for, I don't know, 3 hours until he thinks, oh, I wonder if anybody's updated the project plan. Now, in both companies, there's enough work to do that nobody is actually sitting around. But maybe right. he would prioritize his work differently if he knew that you had finished that task. And most of the time, it's like we've all got Instant Messenger now. And though I hate it,
yeah.
you know, pinging someone to say, hey, I just marked off this task. It's yours now. Or, hey, this thing is ready for you to do your bit on. Takes you 10 seconds.
Yeah. And I think who better to report that it's done, or who better to, you know, notify or let people know? I mean, you did it, right? Mm-hmm. It's instantaneous, right? If we're talking about the importance of communication, we're talking about quality and quantity of communication. I mean, even if they happen to serendipitously mm-hmm. just check the project plan at the exact same or 5 minutes after you marked it done, that's 5 minutes, mm-hmm. right? I mean, it's a small thing, but at scale, right? When you extrapolate that out, it's huge. And that's not the way that most people are going to check it. They're going to check it a few times a day, or they're going to, you know, it's at the mercy of when it works in their calendar or when it works with their workload. And so, yeah, it's just, it's more beneficial to communicate at the time, in the moment, right? What's the word for it? There's a word for it. Contemporaneously, right?
Yeah. And even if, yeah, the system exists, people will say you don't want to work with them, or you don't make it easy to work with you, or, you know, I don't feel like I'm working with Andrew in this team because he never tells me when my stuff's ready. And I sit around for 3 hours because I don't look at the project plan every time. And then I get into trouble because I haven't finished my tasks. That person is going to blame you for not communicating, even if it was in the project plan. So get out of that hole by taking the 10 seconds to communicate that it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people's workflows are just different. Often that we're not trying to intentionally make sure that, you know, work stops or that mm-hmm. we're becoming the bottleneck. You know, I think of a simple example. If we, you know, we're in a folder and we're like, gosh, this folder's kind of messy. I'm going to clean it up. And we move a document thinking no one's using this document. And the next thing we hear is this, you know, tirade from someone about where is this file, right? I, you know, this is the most important file. Where does it go? Da, 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 da. And we're shocked because we thought, well, isn't this the old one? Aren't yeah. we on version 1.2 now? I mean,
didn't everybody get that message?
Didn't everyone know that?
Yeah.
Not if we didn't communicate it.
No. And even if we did, they may not have heard.
Yeah, that's right.
So we've given you a good chunk of things to think about. Causing a barrier to communication, causing work to stop. So those are two categories. So we'll let you think about those this week and whether or not those are the two things that are causing people to say you're uncollaborative. And then next week, we'll start with the third category and then what we're going to do about it. We'll join you again next week and finish up this cast.